longer than you know. Let the fire in your heart begin to grow. Loving me is enough. I'm breaking through the dark, shining with my truth and lighting up my heart. Every day I rise, every moment's tough, but loving me is enough. Oh, 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 oh. Through the storms and doubts you'll find your way. Voices may try to pull you, but you won't sway.
Another Loving Me is Enough podcast. This is the podcast where healing, growth, self-love, and restoration meet. As usual, I'm your host, Natasha Hatchett, and as usual, I am so glad to be here with you guys today. This month is Mental Health Awareness Month, and although we normally focus on relationships, healing, boundaries, and becoming who God created us to be, today we're going to take a pause to talk about something that affects every single one of us: mental health. See, mental health is not just about being crazy, weak, dramatic, or unstable. Mental health is about how we think, feel, cope, process life, handle stress, love ourselves, and interact with others. And let me tell you, the truth is, many people are silently struggling while still showing up every day smiling. So let's get into it. What is mental health? So mental health includes our emotional wellness, our psychological wellness, social wellness. It includes how we handle stress, how we process trauma, how we cope with life changes, how we relate to people, how we see ourselves. These are all things that encompass mental health. But see, in our communities, when we think about mental health, we only think about, oh, that person is crazy. And we are going to debunk that myth on today. So before we go any further, I want you to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and share this episode with someone today. I know it's going to be a little sensitive. It might be a little in your face, but come on, let's be real. It's 2026. We have to start dealing with our mental health, because mental health affects our relationship. It affects our parenting. It affects our decision-making, self-esteem, sleep. Wonder why you're not sleeping? It affects our physical health, our productivity, our spiritual life, and your motivation. These are all the areas, key areas, that our mental health tends to interrupt and disturb. And for the most part, we ignore it. We ignore it. We think because someone looks okay, that doesn't mean they're okay. Oh, she's fine. Oh, he looks good. Oh, he showed up today. They were smiling. They were laughing. That's far from the truth. Many people function while they're depressed, smile while they're anxious, serve others emotionally empty. Let's just take a pause. Serving others while emotional empty. I have been there so many times. There's this saying that you can't pour from an empty cup. I don't know how many times, ladies and gentlemen, I have poured from an empty cup. I don't know how many times I have given of myself what I didn't even have to give to myself. So when we talk about mental health, it's just not about being quote unquote crazy. It's talking about showing up for others when you can't even show up for yourself because you're emotionally empty. You're physically, mentally drained. And then we have some people that go to work every day while mentally exhausted. True story. I went to work all day this week, and it was a hell of a week, if I might add. Every week is something different, but this week was different. I don't know what it was about this week that caused me to be so mentally exhausted. It was like the only thing I can do when I come home was just sleep, shower, sleep, and don't worry about eating, to the point where I would get up in the morning just feeling super famished. But that's mental health. That's because my mental health was off balance, and whatever the cause of it was, it didn't matter. It's just where I was at the time. So we have to understand that mental health is just not seeing someone looking sad, looking depressed. There's a lot of us walking around fully functional, but still battling with our own challenges with mental health. Mental health challenges can come from many things and many places. The first place it can come from or stem from is trauma. What do you mean trauma? Well, some of us are carrying some childhood trauma that still affects us today into our adulthood. Some of us are carrying some form of abuse that may have happened along our life journey, whether it was physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, spiritual abuse. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is a such thing as spiritual abuse. Another thing that can cause karma is rejection. I have to say, honestly, I don't like rejection, and I used to did not deal with rejection well. But as I got older, and as I start to learn myself a little bit more, I understand that there are times where rejection is going to be part of my growing and my healing and my life's journey. So I've learned to embrace it. Another form of trauma can be divorce. You know, although I've been divorced, I'm not an advocate or a fan of it. And here is why. It doesn't matter how much you dislike the person in the moment, or how much we put on the paper and make it sound cute that it's irretrievably broken, we can't reconcile, irreconcilable differences, whatever cute word we're using today in divorces, divorce always tend to take something from you. You can be the most anointed person. You can be the most intellectual person. You could be the person that's so super smart. I don't care who you are. If you're real with yourself, you will acknowledge that divorce takes something from you. It leaves a little piece of you feeling insecure. It leaves a piece of you feeling inadequate. It leaves trauma at some venture, juncture of your life. You're going to experience trauma from being divorced. Now, the trauma is not so much so that you miss the person, or the trauma is not so much so that, you know, you need the person, but the trauma is you now have to deal and operate in a space that you've never operated from before. This is why I'm not an advocate for it. Yes, I'm not a hypocrite. I have been divorced twice, and I understand, mind your business, I understand the trauma that divorce leaves. I don't recommend it. I'm always for couples to try to work through it, try to reconcile, try to figure out what the differences are. And hear me clearly. I know there are some situations that are completely, totally unworkable, unmanageable, and there are times where there's a situation that impedes staying together. I'm not saying that. I'm not forcing anyone to stay together. Let me give that disclaimer, because I don't want anyone to think, oh, she's saying stay in the marriage. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is when you're considering divorce, if you are considering divorce, understand that it will leave trauma. It will take a little bit of something from you and leave you in a place that you've never, ever been before. I'm not going to get too deep into that. If you guys want to, we can do a whole episode on divorce and the trauma that it causes. But let's go back to where we are with mental health. So mental health can be caused by trauma, whether it's childhood wounds, abuse, rejection, divorce. And here's the last two, grief and abandonment. A lot of us deal with grief on a day-to-day basis. There are some of us that have people in our lives that we have yet to grieve. They've gone on, they've passed on, or they're just they're living, but they left our lives and we have not grieved that situation. See, unfortunately, we are a people, a generation that feels like we're Timex. And for the most part, we are. Some of us can take a licking and keep on ticking. But in order to go and to grow and to heal properly, you're going to have to deal with the grief at some point. When my father died in 2020, I didn't take the time to heal and deal with the grief that I was experiencing. I just continued to operate day to day. One, primarily because I had to plan a funeral, had to make the arrangements, had to do the eulogy, had to make sure everyone was good, all while I have yet to deal with my own grief. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 years later of my dad's death anniversary that I realized I didn't grieve. And you wanna know how I realized it? I was doing something and I don't know what triggered it, and I had a breakdown. Not the mental health therapist having a breakdown. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Because at the end of the day, even though we're in this field, we are still human. And the trauma of grief can weigh on us so badly that it triggers mental health concerns. Abandonment. Some of us are dealing with abandonment issues, whether you were abandoned by your parents, abandoned by a loved one, abandoned by a friend. Whatever your issue or your trauma is with abandonment, it can cause mental health. So those are the things that under the trauma category that can trigger your mental health. But let's talk about the stress category. Mental health challenges can come from stress. Did y'all know that stress is the number one killer amongst African Americans? Did y'all know that stress wreaks so much havoc in your body? You ever went to the doctor because you had this pain or you had this problem? And they keep running tests and MRIs and CAT scans and PET scans and all these scans. And they tell you they can't simply figure out what the problem is. Let me help you save the next copay. Well, copay medically, it's stress. Take that copay after all the tests has been ran, because I'm never going to tell you not do that. Do the testing. Do whatever it is that is required of you medically. But if they cannot figure out what it is, take that copay and call a psychologist, a therapist, and engage in therapy. Because chances are, whatever it is that you're dealing with and they cannot figure out is caused by stress. There are so many different forms of stress. There's financial pressure, parenting stress, relationship stress. Lord have mercy, that in itself is something else. Toxic work environmental stress, and being a caregiver stress. I have encountered every last one of these stressors to the point where at one point I allowed, because it didn't just happen. I allowed stress to cause me to weigh 200 and something pounds. I am a 5'2 standing woman. There is absolutely no reason I should be weighing 200 plus pounds. And I hear you. How did you let that happen? One, it just happened, and two, I allowed it to happen. I allowed stress, this is me being transparent, to alter my day-to-day. And I knew it was happening. I saw it happening. I just did nothing about it. So understand, stress can trigger your mental health in ways that we don't even know. It even triggers your physical health. Another thing that can cause us challenges with mental health is biological factors. Those are the things that you just, sometimes it's out of your control. Whether it's your hormones, genetic, chemical imbalances, chronic illnesses, those are things that's a little bit more delicate to deal with when it comes to your mental health, but understand that they do create challenges for your mental health. And emotional suppression, that is the number one trigger in the African American community, and I will say probably also in the Hispanic community, that triggers our mental health. Emotional suppression. We can deal with the stress, we can deal with the grief, we can deal with abandonment, we can deal with, but we as people, brown and black people, we deal with emotional suppression differently. It triggers something in us that sometimes we are not able to come back from. What is emotional suppression? Most of us, if not all of us, have been taught, stop crying, be strong. Child, just pray about it and move on. What happens in this house stays in this house. I hate that statement. And I want you guys to know that hate is a strong word, and there's not too many things in this life that I hate, but that statement is definitely one of them. What happens in this house stays in this house. And what we as parents don't realize is when we say that to our children, we're teaching them to be deceitful. We're teaching them to ignore their pain. We're teaching them to ignore their trauma. We're teaching them how not to express themselves when something is wrong with them, because they got to be a keeper of these house secrets. How dare us? We are the reason, parents, sometimes, that our children's mental health are so jacked up. Stop crying. My mom used to say, she gonna get me, but my dad used to say this when he used to physically discipline us as kids. And I put that cue. Stop crying before I give you something to cry for. Well, you just beat me. Or, girl, just be strong. Now, this is not my mom. This is just a things that we say, just be strong. You'll get through it. You'll work it out. You'll figure it out. No, I'm not. Let me feel what I'm feeling. Let it break what it needs to be break in order for me to get through it. But telling me to be strong is almost the equivalent of saying what you're going through don't matter. Chin up, head up. Let's go. Get through it. And that's not fair. Pray about it and move on. Lord have mercy. The Christian community gonna get me. Please stop telling people that. Pastor, preachers, ministers, evangelists, lay members, deacons, deaconesses, missionary, I don't care what your title is. Stop telling people that. It is inappropriate. Pray about it and move on. Because most of the times, before they express that issue, concern, or feeling to you, they have prayed. They have tried to move on. Now what? See, the Christian, the church community have to be equipped with more than just pray about it and move on. Those days of old are gone. We're living in a time where there's so much more going on in our day-to-day lives, and not to negate the fact that any other generation dealt with. But there is so much going on that you telling an individual to pray about it and move on is not enough. What else? Prayer is good, and I wholeheartedly believe in the power of prayer. But after I've prayed and it seems like I'm not getting any relief, what do I do? So when we force people to emotionally suppress their feelings, instead of healing, they now learn to hide. They now become what I call functional mental health patients. I show up, I look good, I smell good, I act the part, I sound the part, then I go home and I'm a total wreck. Because you taught me that I can't come to you with my feelings and emotions and be in a safe place to express it. We got to do better by each other. Aren't we our sisters and our brothers' keeper? We have to do better, because your mental health affects your daily life. It impacts every activities more than we realize. It affects every aspect of your life. It affects your energy level, your focus and your concentration. It affects your eating habits, your sleeping patterns. Oh my God, your sleeping patterns can get so thrown off. You wonder why you go to bed at 9 and you're back up by 1 and you go back to sleep and you're back up by 3 and then you're up. Your sleeping pattern is off because your body is subliminally telling you there's something mentally that's frustrating us, and we got to deal with it. It affects your motivation, your desire to do anything, your desire to engage, your desire to continue. And I'm not saying suicidal, but you just don't have the And it also affects your relationships. It affects how you operate in your relationship. It affects how you show up at work, your work performance. You used to be the star employee where you will go to work and be able to get things done and bop, 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 boom. But now you just go and it's like, I'm here. It affects your hygiene and self-care. And most of the time, that's when you start to know, that's when other people now start to notice there's a problem. But by the time it affects your hygiene and your self-care, that person is almost in very deep. Because think about it. If you're a person that normally takes care of yourself and now your mental health is so heavy, something is so heavy on you that it causes you not to want to shower, not to want to do your hair, not to, you're already too deep. You deep in. You're deep in. And the sad thing about how we as a community handle mental health, we force people to deal with it on their own. Right? We force them to retreat. We force them to isolate to themselves. We force them to stop answering our calls and our texts. We force them into the pattern of sleeping too much or not enough. There's a lot of us out here struggling. Some of the ways we can get, and we'll cover this throughout the rest of the month, some of the ways you can identify a person that's struggling in their mental health is people that isolate themselves all the time. There's a difference between isolation and being an introvert. There's a difference between isolation and a person who's just not that social. It's a distinct difference. When someone stops answering your calls and your texts, when they're sleeping too much or not enough, like I mentioned before, excuse me, when they overeat or barely eating at all, when you see a person that's easily irritated or they have lost interest in things that they used to so love, those are all signs of a person that's struggling with their mental health. When they start feeling emotionally numb or they're struggling to get out of bed or constantly overthinking, feeling hopeless and always overwhelmed, that's a true sign that someone is struggling with their mental health. Sometimes, no, let's take out the sometimes. The strongest people are carrying the most emotional, heaviest weight. I'll say that again. The strongest person is carrying the heaviest emotional weight. You know that saying we circulate on social media, check on your strong friends? Well, it's just not a saying. I want to encourage each and every one of us to check on your strong friend. Make sure that strong friend is truly okay because they're going to lie to you. You good? Yeah, I'm fine. All the while they're struggling with their mental health. There are some basic warning signs that you should pay attention to, even with your strong friends that's going to lie to you. Even with your strongest homeboy that's going to show up like everything is okay. He makes sure everybody's good. He's taking care of the kids, taking care of the wife, you know, performing well at work. Pay attention to those strong, and I'm doing air quotes, people. Because I'm going to give you some emotional signs and some behavior. There's three things you should look for. Looking for changes in the emotional, the behavior, and the physical. There's signs in almost every area. But let's deal with the emotional signs. Emotionally, they're constantly sad. They have mood swings. They're irritable. They're feeling hopeless, excessive worrying, and feeling emotionally disconnected. If this person was a person that normally would hang out with you and no longer want to hang out, don't want to talk, don't want to this, don't want to that, that's a sign that something is going on emotionally. Yes, you can tell the difference if it's just them needing a break opposed to them going through something emotionally. So if you can't see it in their emotions, then look at their behavior. Warning signs in their behavior is a little bit more obvious. Withdrawing from people, stop hanging out with the group, loss of interest. For instance, if your homeboy used to like to play basketball or hang out and do this and do that, and all of a sudden it's just abruptly stops, that's a behavioral warning sign. If you're homegirl, you know, you and her used to go out to happy hour every Friday to just wind down from the week or whatever it is that you guys used to do very often. And she, all of a sudden she's losing interest. That's a behavioral sign. Increased alcohol or substance use. One drink now is taking 10 drinks or, you know, five drinks and now they're up to 20 drinks. Or now they're trying recreational drugs, marijuana, TAC, vape pens, whatever it is. Those are outward behavior signs that you can look for. Changes in their routine, you know, just the way they switch up. Don't just look at it, dang, she acting different. She's switching up. No, that might be one of those behavioral signs that you need to pay attention to. Reckless behavior. All of a sudden, you're just becoming this person that you never normally was. And you're saying, oh, this is the new me. Nope, that's a sign. Lack of motivation. You know, this person, even though they may not have been the cheerleader in the group, they were normally motivated to do things, motivated to go to the gym, motivated to this, motivated to that. Anything they put their mind to, they were able to do it. But in this season or in that moment, they're not, they're unable to. Those are part of the behavioral signs. Not physically. They're always fatigued, headaches, appetite change, trouble sleeping, panic attacks, tension. Those are things that you can physically look for. Like if you say good morning to a person, it's just like, and they just fly off the handle. That's a physical warning. Like what's going on that your whole aura is off. Now, spiritually and emotionally, it's a little bit more harder to see those, but you can see it. That's when they feel lost. They're starting to feel numb. They're starting to feel disconnected from themselves and their purpose. But you will know these when you have a conversation with them. This is not something that you can automatically look for and see in a person and be like, yeah, you're going through depression. No, it's not something, you know, you can see on the surface. Emotional, they can feel disconnected, emotionally exhausted. So those are some of the things that comes with the warning signs. I'm not asking you to be a therapist. I'm just really asking you to be in tune with your friends. If you say you're friends with a person or if you say you're in a relationship with this person, like really pay attention. That we got to do better in taking care of each other. And I am not saying become anyone's babysitter. What I am saying is we got to do better by one another. But how do I know if they're really struggling when they saying they're okay? Every time I text them, he say he's fine. Every time I text her, she say she's okay. They are going to say they're fine. They're going to say they're okay because that's what we were taught to do. It's a very nasty, learned behavior to lie to each other. That was the first lie that probably most of us told. How you doing? I'm good. Lie. How you feeling today? Oh, I feel great. Church folks. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Girl, stop lying. I ain't saying you're blessed and highly. I'm not saying you're not blessed and highly favored. But you know that's not how you felt in that moment. And you just simply lied. But it's all good. That's all good. Here's some things you can ask your friends, though, or those in your life. Are you living or just surviving? How you really feeling? Like, let's go take a walk on the beach. Let's go chop it up. Let's go talk. We have to be intentional. But here's the thing. I'm going to switch it up a bit. Everything I've said was external. Those are things that people can do for us. But we have to also take full accountability for ourselves and how we show up. We have to take full accountability. You can lie to everybody else, but when you start lying to yourself, that's a problem. You lie to you, that's bad. You're in a bad place. Because the one person that shouldn't lie to you is you. Ask yourself these questions. How am I really feeling? Have I been too emotionally overwhelmed? Am I constantly pouring into others while neglecting myself? I told you about me in the beginning. What am I ignoring that's going on with me while I focus on everybody else? These are questions we can ask ourselves, because you ultimately are responsible for you. You have to be able to sit. I tell my clients a lot of times, if you're feeling grief, sit in it. Allow it to do what it's going to do, because the worst thing we can do is rush the feeling of whatever it is, grief, anger. The worst thing we can do is rush to get through it, because that means we're not fully encompassing it and dealing with it. Sit with yourself. We have 7 days in a week, 24 hours in a day. How much time, and I do mean time, do you invest in you? Not the time it takes for you to put on your makeup in the morning, get ready, get dressed, make you a cup of tea. No, that's not time. That's routine. How much time do you sit in your living room, sit in your room, sit in your car? No, I'm going to say car, because most of us do that and, well, it works. But anyway, how much time do you sit with you and say, okay, check in. Where we at today, self? Self-talk is one of the greatest therapies there is. Talk to you. Find out where you are. Find out what you're feeling. Because only you can tell you what's up. I can look at my friend and I can look at my siblings and I can look at whomever and say, okay, there's something going on. But if I ask and you tell me the lie, no, I'm good. I'm going to have to believe what you tell me, although I'm seeing what I'm seeing. But if you lie to you, baby, you do need a therapist. Because you should not be lying to you at all. Check in with yourself. Remember I talked about the black and brown communities, how we're taught that, you know, mental health is so taboo and we're taught how to suppress our feelings and emotions. Here's another thing that we were taught in black and brown communities. Healing is being weak. Going to therapy is for suckers. We black, we brown. We don't need no therapy. We got Jesus and that's all we need. Y'all should see my actions right now. That's cool. I ain't knocking it. I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ. However, I wear a t-shirt that says Jesus plus therapy equals healing. And it's time for us, ladies and gentlemen, to stop lying to ourselves. You do need Jesus. I'm glad you haven't found him, but you also need therapy. And I'm standing firm on that. Healing is not weakness. I know we were taught in black and brown communities, you don't need to be talking to nobody. You don't need to tell nobody your business. Oh, therapy is for the people that's weak. Oh, you crazy. Why you in therapy? You know, all the crap we say to each other in these communities because we go to therapy. I get it. But ask yourself, how far has that gotten us? You think if you were to put Lil Ray Ray in therapy, that wouldn't have stopped the problem from happening? Do you know how high the rate of suicide is amongst black and brown children, because children are feeling overwhelmed and have no one to talk to, but you're stuck with a parent or parents that says, boy, you good, girl, you good, go to your room. And most suicides happen in those same bedrooms, because you send them to their room and now they're feeling the weight and the pressure of whatever it is they was trying to get off their chest. And so the only option some of them think about is to kill or to harm themselves. And then we as parents or caregivers want to now say, I didn't know you did. We have to take a different look, a different position, how we teach our children to deal with their mental health. My son is 18 years old and he has had 3 therapists. Ask me why. I don't know. But all I know is a black man in America is beneficial for you to be in therapy, because I knew there were going to be some things. I knew there was going to be some encounters, although he has his dad and he has a village full of strong black men. I still made him go to therapy. And hear me, ladies and gentlemen, don't come to me judging me. The reason I said made, because at the time he was a child, he don't make those decisions. His parents does. Some of us need to get back to parenting. I explained to him what it was. I explained to him why I was engaging him in it. I gave him all the details of it. And I said to him, son, this is not up for debate. This is what you're going to do. Now, is he the perfect kid? Absolutely not. Because there's still some challenges in his life that maybe want to, you know. However, He was able to deal with it differently, and I was able to deal with it differently. And being in therapy caused him to deal with situations that he went through in his junior and senior year of high school that life that prepared him for. You're paying the insurance anyway. Send they tail to therapy. What does it hurt? That's my rant. Did y'all hear it? Because I'm passionate about it. Not because this is the work I do. I'm passionate about it because there is no way 8-year-olds should be taking their lives. There's no way 17-year-olds should be taking their lives. There's no way 21-year-olds should be taking their lives. Life is just beginning. But we have to do better. Therapy is not weakness. Women, this is for you. Resting. It's not laziness. You're allowed. Say it to yourself, women. I'm allowed to rest. We had a whole episode about boundaries, creating healthy boundaries. Boundaries are healthy. Men, this is specifically for you. Asking for help don't mean you weak, bruh. It means you're courageous because you've acknowledged that you've gotten to a place where you can't do whatever that was on your own and you're going to ask for help. We got to get away from these stupid myths and traditionalisms and oh, if you a man, you're not supposed to cry. Well, why God gave you tear ducts? He should have made you without tear ducts if he didn't want you to cry. And let me tell you, crying is a good form of therapy. I don't know about y'all, but once I had a good cry, sometimes I feel 1,000% better. We got to get away from stupidity and start dealing in what's real. Do you know the average black and brown man carries so much on their shoulders and they don't even have the courage to tell their wife, their partner, that this is what I'm feeling because somebody told them, dog, you a man up. At the cost of his mental health. Make it make sense. And then you wonder why our men go out there, and I'm not saying this is all men, so let me give that disclaimer. You wonder why some of them go out and their behaviors are reckless, their patterns are reckless. They start drinking more. They start smoking more. They stop coming home. And I'm not saying this for all men because some of them are just idiots and they just do what they do anyway. However, what I am saying to you is, have you checked in with your man lately, girl? I'm just saying. Understand that this is for both men and women. Healing is going to take time. Self-care, men, women, is necessary. And women's self-care is not just going to get your hair done and your nails done. That's personal hygiene care. Self-care is when you sit by the ocean and you relax. Self-care is when you do something that caters to you internally. See, your hair, your nails, your feet, and then and that, that's all external. That's taking care of the outer appearance. Bro, that haircut is your outer appearance. Self-care is when you sit in a place with people or something that feeds your soul. That's your self-care. And we got to get away from, I got to be moving every waking moment, to where we just realize, I got to take care of me. I keep telling us, it's the reason why when you board a plane and they're giving you those safety instructions that they say to put your mask on first before you help anybody else. Because truth is, if your mask is not on, you can't help nobody. You just can't. Don't sit there in what you're going through and what you're feeling because of what tradition or what culture has told you. You want to do something for the culture? Deal with your mental health. You want to elevate the culture? Deal with your mental health. I'm just saying. Churches, this is for you. Pastor, teacher, preacher, deacon, this and that. Don't ignore the mental health in your churches. Don't tell them just to pray about it. If you're not a pastor that's fully equipped to deal with the mental health, I suggest you employ a mental health therapist in your ministry, outside of your ministry, rather, because most people are not going to open up to someone that's a part of the ministry, but have a mental health therapist on staff. So if you see sister so-and-so going through, you hand her a card and say, hey, I've been noticing some da-da-da-da-da. You know, take this card and go to this person. She's not a part of the church. He's not a part of the church. I just want you to be able to have someone to talk to. We got to do better as churches in taking care of our people. It's more than tithe and offering. It's more than showing up, having a good shout, hearing a good song. It's more to it than that, because these same people that sit up in churches on Sunday take these same issues and problems back home. Now, some of that is just them being stiff-necked and stubborn. I get it. I'm a church baby. I get it. I'm a believer of Christ. But there are some things as a community, a church community, that we can do better and do differently. And I know y'all probably going to excommunicate me out of the church, but that's okay. I'm still serve the Lord. Prayer is powerful, but God also gives us resources, counselors, wisdom, community, and support. God has placed all these things here on earth for the benefit of his people. I'm just saying, use it. Whew, child, I feel like I'm ranting, but can you tell how passionate I am about our mental health in the Black and brown community? Because we have to do better. We have to do better. There was a time when we can solidly say Black and brown children or Black and brown people don't take their lives. We can't say that anymore, because the statistics are very high in the Black and brown community for not just suicide, but homicide. On murder, suicide. It's getting up there, y'all. We got to do better with our mental health. Hear me, please. If you don't listen to no other episode, and take heed to this one. Okay, let's switch it up. Shake it off. So, Miss Lady, you done said all of this. You done dropped all this heavy stuff on me. You done told me this and that and that and that and this. What do I do now to protect my mental health? If I don't go see the therapist, which you probably should, what do I do now to protect my mental health? I'm glad you asked. Here's a few things you can do. Rest. That's number one. Big on rest. You know why? Rest gives the body the time and opportunity it needs to regenerate, to refuel and to regroup and do all the things that it should be doing throughout rest and sleep. So the first thing you can do to protect your mental health is rest. You can journal, you can pray, you can meditate, exercise. A lot of times we don't see exercise as a tool, but it is, because exercise and release the same endorphin, the happy drug, right? So exercise, drink your water. You know, there was a saying, drink water and mind your business, baby, drink water. Water does so much for the body, the mind. It's the simplest thing. Drink water. Limit toxic environments. If you know Charlene is always negative and toxic, why are you still hanging around her 7 days a week, 20 hours a week? Yeah, why? Yeah, limit your toxic environments. Spend more time with safe people, people that feed your spirit and your soul, people that can elevate you, people that can pour into you, even when they don't know they're pouring into you. I have friends in my life that they speak life to me without even knowing that they're speaking life to me. And it could just be a very simple conversation. And they feed my soul. Take breaks on social media. We are so caught up with that little thumb, scrolling, 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 scrolling. Yeah, limit your scrolling. Limit your scrolling. Set boundaries. You don't know how to set them? Go back to the episode where I say creating boundaries is healthy. And speak positively to yourself. I want to move that one up there next to rest. Rest and speak positively to yourself. Yourself is always listening. If nobody else is listening to you, self is listening. So if you're saying, self, we so stupid, that's what self gonna believe, and that's how self gonna operate, in stupidity. Be kind to yourself. You have been through a lot of changes, a lot of challenges, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And if you're over the age of 40, you've seen a lot, done a lot, heard a lot, been a lot of places. Be kind to yourself. You made the best decisions from where you were at the time you were there. So those are things you can do. Here's some other things you can do. Stop suppressing your emotions. If you're not good, how are you today? Child, I don't know. I ain't good. Stop lying. That's basically it. Stop suppressing what you feel, thinking it's making the situation better. One, it's not making the situation better, and two, it's not making you better at all. Learn healthy coping skills. One of my coping skills, when I realized that my mental health have reached its peak, I withdraw and I turn on some really good music and I sit there. Sometimes it's gospel, sometimes it's soca, because I am Caribbean, and they say, ain't nothing like a good soca and gyrating your hips to get you to feeling better. But anyway, that's just me. Don't listen to me. But find something, a coping skill that you can do when you're in that place. Learn healthy coping skills. And I say healthy because smoking weed ain't healthy. It may feel good in the moment, but baby, after the high is gone, the problem is still there. The issue is still there. Drinking, unhealthy. Promiscuity, unhealthy. But this is just me. I ain't here to judge you. I'm just telling you, here to tell you what is not healthy. Process your grief for the sake of God Almighty. Stop running from grief. I get it. It's heavy. It's a lot. It's burdensome. I get it. And you don't want to deal with it because you want to stay in your happy place. But sweetheart, you're not going to be in your happy place long if you don't deal with the grief, because grief is like an unwanted neighbor. It knocks at your door unexpectedly. And if you don't answer it, that's fine. It'll go away, but it will be back. Deal with the grief. Here's a good one. Forgive yourselves. Let me say it for the people in the back. Forgive yourself. Yes. Forgive yourself. I just said it a few minutes ago. You did a lot of things, been a lot of places, seen a lot of things, made a lot of mistakes, and baby, you got a lot of failures on your plate. But guess what? You're still here. Forgive yourself. You did what you did when you did how you did it, because that's all you knew to do. Forgive. Forgive yourself. The Bible declares that God will forgive your sins and he'll cast them as far as east is from the west. I don't know if you guys ever realize this, but I've never seen the east touch the west. So if God is willing to forgive me of my sins and cast them so far away from each other, why ain't forgiving myself? And he's God Almighty. He's willing to forgive me and never to remember them again. Baby, forgive yourself. Again, you did what you did when you did what you did, how you did it when you did it, because that's all you knew how to do. And for the sake of Almighty God, allow yourself the space and the time to heal. You don't have to keep jumping in and out of things or situations, not just relationships, but partnerships, deals, business deals. You don't have to keep doing that. Heal. Healing is so sexy. It ain't nothing like dealing with a healed woman. It ain't nothing like dealing with a healed man. I'm just saying, healing is sexy. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is our podcast for today. Your mental health matters. And listen, I said a lot of stuff, and you're going to have to go back and listen to this episode again. I really want you to. But I want you to remember this. Your mental health matters. Your feelings matters. Your healing matters. And you deserve support, peace, and wholeness. You don't have to pretend you're okay just to make others feel comfortable. What I want you to do in this entire month of May, 31 full days, I want you to choose to check in with yourself. Choose to rest. Choose honesty. Choose you. Because loving yourself enough also means protecting your mind. You cannot tell me you love you and you're not dealing with your mental health. It doesn't make sense. So, as I close, if this episode has blessed you, share it with someone who you may think need encouragement today. Send it to somebody and say, hey, you should listen to this. Send it to that person that you have been trying to get them for the longest to go to therapy and deal with their trauma. Let me talk to them for you. I got it. I got you, friend. We in this together. And I want you to remember this. Healing is not a destination, love. It's a journey. So until next time, keep choosing you. Keep growing. And never forget that loving you is enough. Until next time.
Power in your hands, your story's just begun. Believe in who you are.